songs. And I'm thinking, every other religion offers a means, a way of keeping going, of understanding the faith and applying it. But God actually comes into our heart as believers in God. He comes into our heart and he begins to transform us. No other religion does that. Nothing offers to love us like Jesus loves us. Nothing offers to live in us and transform us from the inside out like our faith. It's a great privilege to have God living within us. I've got a scripture that I'm going to read a lot of scriptures, but I've got one. I just want it to be behind me all the time, because it's important that we understand the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives and how he wants to change us. You know, we try to change ourselves, but I love this scripture. It says, at that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come mightily upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will feel and act like a different person. So if you are coming this morning and you want to feel and act like a different person, then we need to understand the working of the Spirit within us. And I want to talk about that this morning. And so I've got scriptures that I'm going to read. So I'm going to start with Acts 4. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. There was something about the delivery of Peter and John to the religious leaders of the Jewish nation at that time that they were astounded by the way they were speaking, because they knew they were just ordinary, uneducated men, fishermen who would have been educated to a very low level, but something in them had changed who they were, so much so that their speech, their wisdom, the words that they were using astonished those that were listening to them. They had a supernatural courage and wisdom of speech that took the elders of the nation by surprise. They were different to the unsure disciples that spent their 3 years with Jesus. Girls, right, thank you. I want to look at the story of Saul. Now, Saul is an Old Testament king, and I just want to look at how God prepared him and changed him for service. And that's where this scripture comes from. It's the anointing of King Saul. So if we go back, and I'm going to sort of refer back to 1 Samuel chapter 8 to chapter 10, and it's the history of the Israelite nation around the time when they were looking for a king. Samuel was coming to the end of his life. He'd appointed his sons as judges and rulers, but they were taking advantage of their position. They were taking bribes. They were extorting money out of people. There was a bit of a rebellion by the Jewish nation. Now, we know that Israel, if you read the Old Testament, has got this on-off relationship with God. And at this time, they were looking at Samuel and going, this is not working, and we need a king like other nations. Up till then, God had always spoken to the nation through prophets and judges, and he had managed the nation through direct contact with those men. And they sort of talked and to those around and brought God's will to the children of Israel. But they'd had enough of that, and they were looking for a king. And it says this, that Kish had a son named Saul, as handsome a young man as could be found anywhere in Israel, and he was a head taller than anybody else. Wow. Naturally speaking, he's the kind of guy you'd be going for. Naturally speaking, he seemed to have everything in his favor. But God did warn the children of Israel that if you choose a king, there will be consequences to that. And they go, it doesn't matter, we don't care. just give us a king like all the other nations. And so God conceded, and he spoke to Samuel around this time to anoint Saul as king. Saul's father had lost his donkeys. Now, it's not something we can kind of connect to because we haven't got donkeys. We don't keep them. But the donkeys were the wealth of Kish. He was a wealthy man, and he'd lost his donkeys and sent Saul out to find them. And Saul searched over a large area and failed in his mission. I don't know whether your children are like our children, but when you send them to look for something, it's not very often a successful mission. Some women say that about their husbands, don't they? Where's my shirt? It's where you left. No, it's not where, all those kind of issues. So we don't quite know in what frame of mind Saul was, but he'd gone out to look for his dad's donkeys and he couldn't find them. That's the top and bottom of it. And a servant went with him and he said, there's a man of God who we could go and ask. So they arranged a meeting with Samuel, who was the man of God. And at that meeting, Samuel said to Saul, I'm going to talk to you and reveal all that is in your heart, and that Israel's desire for a king is on you. Now, he wasn't looking for that role, but he was given it. And I don't know whether you've ever been asked to do anything that you kind of go, it's not, wow, that's not me. And we can very often come with excuses and reasons why we can't do the things that we're asked to do. And this is God asking Saul to be king of Israel. And he's going, oh, just a minute. I'm from the smallest tribe, Benjamin. I carry no authority. And he kind of took a back step. He didn't really want to take on the role. And he met with Samuel, and Samuel began to talk to him about the role. And this is where we get this verse from that is behind me now. So we have Saul, who naturally looks like a king. He doesn't want to be the king. But this is what Samuel said to him. At that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come on you mightily, and you will prophesy, and you will feel and act like a different person. Samuel anointed Saul to be king, and that's a powerful promise, isn't it, that you're going to be a different person. The change in our perception and performance as believers, as Christians, is change when the Holy Spirit lives in us. So when the Holy Spirit is living with us, we can live in that, acting and feeling like a different person. See, Saul didn't do anything here. There was no training. He didn't have to go through a training course to understand what his role was going to be. He didn't have to go through a training course to teach him how to be a king. The Holy Spirit just changed him. And that's an amazing thought, that as the Holy Spirit is living in us and working in us, he changes us. And this is one of my favorite scriptures, and I'll explain that in a minute, but it's the next verse along. It says, once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Often we can be apprehensive about what we're doing for God, our abilities, our experience, all those things that come to mind when we begin to step out in faith. Our heart is always to be in the will of God and to get it right, and not to do something out of our own ambition and get it wrong. We don't want to be disobedient, but the scripture releases us from this thinking. If we love God with everything we have, then whatever we do for God, he is with us. And I want to encourage you with that this morning, that if you are wondering about what to do for God, if you're wondering what your next step is, just do something, because God is with you. That's what the word is telling us, that God is with us. It's about our heart, not ability. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, he makes us into a different person. Going back to the disciples, After Jesus had been crucified, he had been resurrected, amongst the disciples for a few days or a few weeks, and he was talking to them. And during this period, the disciples kind of were in a bit of no man's land. Well, what do we do? What's it all about then? And it says in John 21, Peter says this, "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. And so there's this time period where the disciples went back to what they were doing before. They knew how to fish, and so they were comfortable with that, and they went back to fishing. Then they had a further encounter with Jesus, and he gave them the Great Commission, which is found in Acts chapter 1. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So Jesus recognized that although the disciples had spent 3 years with him, seen him minister, see him communicate the kingdom of heaven with people, seen miraculous signs, that they still weren't ready to be his disciples and his apostles. Naturally, their abilities wouldn't get them where Jesus wanted them to be. They needed to be different men. They needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, who would energize, equip them, and make them into different men. He would develop them and make them into somebody new. It's the Holy Spirit working in us that transforms who we are into being true disciples, into feeling confident and full of faith as we live day by day, so that we can share the word of God with those around us. Wherever they went, God promised that he was with them. Whatever they did, God promised that he would be with them. And we have to remember that. We have to remind ourselves that as we journey day by day in the faith, that God is with us. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are energized into being somebody different, and we can step out in faith, and God is with us, whatever we are doing. John 14 tells us this, "And I am your Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." The Holy Spirit, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, empowers us to live an overcoming Christian life. He's our helper. He helps us in the way that we live our life. He wants us to be different. He wants us to be empowered. He wants us to be those people that demonstrate really who the kingdom of God is all about. We become demonstrators of the kingdom of heaven. The things that we are by nature are all, and we are all different characters, we have all different personalities, we all face issues in different ways, but when the Holy Spirit is in us, we can see that there is a way forward, that God is with us, that God is transforming us, he's making us into somebody different. See, our world needs to see something different. It's a terrible state. Wherever you look, there is a real need for something different in this nation and in this world. It seems to be failing at every point and crumbling under the pressure. And we say, what's happening? It's the power of sin. The enemy is just running amok at the moment and causing all kinds of issues all over the world. The world needs to experience the kingdom of heaven, the reality of God working in us, the reality of seeing somebody transformed when they're filled with the Holy Spirit into somebody new. Somebody powerful in their faith. Somebody that can bring wisdom and answers and direction to people because God is living in them. We want to bring a dynamic demonstration of the good news of the gospel, but we can't do that in our own strength. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can be different people, knowing that whatever we do and wherever we go, God is with us. So do you want to be different? Do you want to be different? Then we need to be asking the Holy Spirit to fill us. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. And that's a day-by-day journey. So, you know, we use analogies when with the Holy Spirit that we need to be filled every day, otherwise we're running on empty. So I just want to pray for us. We're going to break bread together. We're going to pray that God fills us with the Holy Spirit. He says, ask and you will receive. And so often in our Christian life, we don't ask. We don't ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We just go in our own strength day by day by day. But if we want to be different, if we want to be overcomers in our faith, then we've got to be asking every day for the Holy Spirit to fill us. So let's just do that, and then we're going to break bread together. Father God, we just thank you that you sent us a helper. You sent us an advocate. You sent us somebody who was going to teach us and empower us to be overcomers in this life. And I just pray, Lord, for those seeking you right now, that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit, that they will experience a transformation in their lives, that they will be new people because the Spirit of the Lord is upon them. Amen. We're just going to break bread together. And this is just a reminder that for the Holy Spirit to come, Jesus had to go to heaven. He had to